want no part of the Christian militia that have been pledged to in charge by Israel in an attempt to deceive the world that South Lebanon has a measure of self-representation. BBC that those very officials, army officials in the Christian militia, have been trained in Israel and are totally pro-Israeli. Now we shall go into the commentary. TV's racist view in the United States of youth crime. A very popular television program called Youth Terror. The view from behind the gun has been aired in ABC TV news close-up and documentary over all U.S. television. The ABC's recent documentary on youthful criminals was frightening enough, but not half as frightening as the comments in the discussion that followed last week's broadcast. The power of the one-hour news documentary special on youth terror came from the opportunity provided for young urban criminals and their families to speak for themselves, explaining in their own words why they see no plausible alternative to a daily round of thefts, muggings, assaults, and gang fights, and the sobering hopelessness and futility of the 90-minute follow-up discussions came from the inability of more than a dozen senators, congressmen, drug rehabilitation, social workers, judges, and policemen to offer not even the slightest hope that this will go away. Filmed in the largest cities of the United States, including New York City and Newark, New Jersey, Youth Terror took to the streets and entered the tenements, the ghettos, with an effectiveness surprising to commercial TV. Without any narration, the combination of street footage and candid, informal interviews succeeded in laying out more raw materials about the subject than all the cop shows in the past 10 years put together. But in the view of many commentaries, the lateness of the hour probably prevented many from witnessing it, and also we know, by way of our own commentary, the apathy and indifference that U.S. public has to all of this. And even allowing, said the British news services, news services, and even allowing for the inevitable posturing that TV brings up out in anyone who is suddenly stuck in front of a camera,
I wish to say
descriptions of the young, mostly male, mostly black, Indian,
totally unnecessary,
Latin speakers were unnerving. What psychologists call flattened effect. The flattened effect. The utter lack of emotional concern.
This is dull.
No remorse. No guilt about extremely
responsibility,
deviant, murderous acts and attitudes characterized nearly all of the interviews that went on for 90 minutes. The matter-of-fact tone displayed throughout reflects that crime of life does not seem all that peculiar to the practitioners of crime in USA. Recurring themes include a willingness to put out as much violence as needed to get the job done.
Those governors put in, see to it, this
cowboy refusal,
failing symbol carrying on, is a miracle that child,
a refusal to be concerned about the consequences for the victims, and a fatalistic acceptance of inevitability of getting caught,
but nonetheless, it's a miracle,
and spending time in jail. The
two
most gripping segment featured a white teenager who was perfectly willing to kill on the slightest pretext, and a black mother confessing before the eyes of the TV nation, her inability to control her children while the children sat there and jeered at her during a television interview. That's what we saved our children from. There would have been no chance of us controlling their own death wishes and natural violence to unfair, unjust social conditions. Even the commentary of Great Britain, the capitalist nation, admits that the youth know they will go to jail. They know they will be shot down by police. And they don't care. They have no thought for the consequences. The young victimizers were also quite eloquent, very articulate, and very graphic about the ways in which they themselves have been victims of a social system that we know as capitalism, that gave them no choice. In explaining the reasons and motives for their behavior, they came back again and again to two main themes: the lack of job opportunity and the breakdown of working class family life. No home life. Husbands and fathers away are separated. With no jobs in sight, death in some form is the most obvious economic alternative, the only way they can survive. And with family life already suffering the strains of chronic addiction on drugs,
so many
alcoholic parents and frequently brutal child and wife abuse, the violence of a street gang, mugging is
responsible to see
for any child to take in U.S. cities. A documentary approached these problems, however, completely a racist and fascist anti-class framework. It thus was, even according to BBC, the ground portrayal of the problem. In fact, the show was severely criticized by third world employees who denounced the perspective. Among suspects and aspects that were criticized was the use of the commentary of one mulatto, Puerto Rican, mixed between black and white, of New York City, who said, "We were raised up like animals, so we act like animals." The fabulous thing about this documentary is that to a large extent, it is an accurate depiction, an accurate description of the extreme demoralization and hopelessness of capitalism that it has created for a large segment of the working class. In the national minority ghettos and in poor white working class neighborhoods, there is a level of crime against both people and property that can aptly be described as terror. $10,000. Property first. All capitalist nations need. And there is a small portion of working class youth and a smaller portion of petty bourgeoisie youth for whom criminal violence is an acknowledged and regular way of life. While this documentary was short on subtlety, no subtleness, and wholly lacking in analysis, it made a necessary point with unusual clarity. But the show's virtues began to evaporate as soon as newsman Dave Marash, the M-A-R-A-S-H, and his crew of experts took up the question, "Youth care, is there an answer?" We're going to have done. We all have done. From the outset, the ground shifted from the effects of the demoralization of whole communities to the need for the moral reform of individual criminals. The haste with which the panelists abandoned the question of why does this happen for the safer ground of what must we do about it was in fact a comforting exercise in self-deception and not the commitment to practical change that it appeared to be. The recommendations were for harsher laws and stiffer jail sentences. And we've seen that today in the Supreme Court with indefinite sentences being permitted. Barash and the panelists did, however, pause long enough to describe the young people in the film in racist ways, which reinforced the notion that they were not quite human. Barash, the TV commentator, ABC Network commentator, called the show a primal scream. References to aliens cropped up repeatedly. References to race frequently. One time bronze New York policeman Anthony Boozer suggested that a hedonistic society is creating monsters in the ghetto. And with a few quick nods toward the culture of poverty, the liberal catch-all concept for explaining everything unpleasant about working class life, the task of exploring cause and effect was laid to rest. 10 years ago, USA social workers would look for causes. No longer is that even mentioned. They only want to do something about the effects by establishing police state methods and tactics. A superficial and moralistic analysis of the problem naturally suggests superficial and moralistic approaches to its solution. The need for jobs received obligatory but only token mention. But several panelists were quick to stress that the real goal should be to increase pride, self-respect, self-image, and moral responsibility through tougher laws. The task was taken particularly by Midge Dector, better known for her reactionary attacks on the women's movement, and Joseph Sorrentino, a California judge who boasts how he has risen from his origins in a Brooklyn street gang. Sorrentino, the California judge, limply concluded his pitch for a sudden outbreak of pride by noting, of course, that's going to be tough. Although he contributed to the moralist approach of the program by suggesting the important role to be played by the YMCA and the churches in combating crime, black activist Jesse Jackson raised by far the sanest voice on the show, even though he has been brought to light as helping the FBI in the past. He emphasized, for example, the impossibility of achieving personal rehabilitation without an economic rehabilitation of the communities in which street crime is by default a major industry. However, his idea was black self-help and capitalism. Jackson also pointed to the objectively racist character of the documentary and the ensuing discussion. The racism was manifested not in the usual assertion that all the criminals are black and Latin, but in the related stereotype that all black and Latin youth are criminals, are at least hopelessly trapped in the cultural devastation that breeds habitual criminality. The photography trick work was good indeed, because most of the faces that were seen were black, Indian, Latin, and Asian. The show portrayed only the most brutalized sector of minority youth and gave no hint of the existence of other forces and dynamics within the national minority community. Youth crime, like most everything else, has run up against the anti-big government sentiment in Congress, the right-wing and fascist move in the United States, and the three senators and three representatives on the show, all of whom serve on committees charged with the problems, suggested no more than benign neglect. That means just forget it, ignore it. Or as Representative Ike Andrews put it, Congress can't make all of the toilets flush. Sympathy, even anguish, yes, but no action was suggested by the television. But more laws and police state methods. Noticeably absent from the discussion of this TV network program last week called Youth Terror, The View from Behind the Guns, that appeared on ABC TV. Noticeably absent from the discussion was the kind of frenzied law and ordered pitch one might have expected to surface. It was more subtle. True Pennsylvania Representative William Goodling did propose concentration camps openly. Congress might explore using some of the abandoned army bases, said he, for concentration camps in the United States and hiring some of the many unemployed teachers in the United States. An efficient mass rehabilitation program or imprisonment. This isolated comment may be an advance warning, said the BBC, of things to come. And BBC is concerned about the rising increase of police state practicality as a solution by capitalist economists. And believe me, if they were concerned, you can damn well know that socialists should be. But the dominant thrust of the discussion, said BBC, was the chorus of "Don't call us, we'll call you," which is, in fact, more of a conscious strategy than it might seem. There are two different reactionary approaches at this point for dealing with the general collapse of city urban living conditions for the working class and national minorities. One is a military solution, controlling disruptive elements of a population by sheer force, as was suggested on the television program, in an even more massive and overt, open fashion than is currently practiced by the police. The other is a policy of containment, an attempt to keep the worst aspects of social disintegration and the horror of pain that is caused by crime, unemployment, arson, drug addiction that affects nearly all minority youth in one way or another, confined as much as possible to urban, working class, and all black, Asian, Indian, and Latin are minority communities. There they can be ignored. Sentencing the poor to slow death is a venerable capitalist tradition, and youth terror demonstrates that it is very much alive and well and headed towards fascism. That is the end of the commentary that will be held responsible for, so you must ask for it. All of the community will be held responsible for that with the test of last night, the booth tape of last night on our Friday night socialist classes, our next people's rally. There will be television tonight. We would like our guests to choose from the various things available. If they have no choices, then the community can put in your vote for what we will see of a latter vein in television. The Helsinki Conference had its third anniversary in closing the news from Radio Moscow. Ethiopia National Army has been able to nearly free Eritrea from the oppressive capitalist elements there that are trying to sow division. Many facts were brought out by Radio Moscow today about renewed FBI and CIA spying, meddling with the mail, using criminal acts against people who stand for social issues and members of the minority community, dividing and conquering by COINTELPRO tactics, using criminal tactics to justify their harassment of socialist and black people, Indian people, people of color in the United States. Helsinki, Finland, said the lessening of tensions in the world are imperative, are within the year. The Finnish government thinks there will be a nuclear war. Tokyo Conference, 14 countries voted for the banning, the development of any new nuclear weapons. USSR, the Soviet Union, voted for banning of nuclear weapons. 3's the size of armies. August 6th, the Hiroshima document. All the citizens of the Soviet Union will see television scenes of the horrible atomic bombing of Hiroshima that occurred on August 6th, and then 2 days later, August 8th, in Nagasaki, where both those beautiful communities, Nagasaki was a Christian community, but the white capitalist Christians did not mind destroying the Asian Japanese Christians. Again, the conference meeting in Tokyo voted for the setting up of peace zones in different parts of the world, more than the Indian Ocean and this part of the world, that will be free from nuclear weapons or warfare, to assure that in case of nuclear war, the world will survive healthily in many parts. Aid from the Soviet Union will be given to the 370,000 victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that are still living and having various health disorders due to being in the periphery or in the area of the direct bomb. Albanian letters. Peking had cooled in its relations with the USA during the Vietnam War. Radio Moscow appeals to China to back away from the role that it's playing in what will sharply turn the world into nuclear chaos. North Atlantic Treaty organizations, the army of the capitalist governments, were sharply criticized for military aggression in Africa and Europe. A Democrat of New Jersey, the congressman's speech was given of him giving an address in Johannesburg, where he criticized South Africa's horrible treatment of blacks, says that this system, the Union of South Africa's apartheid, has no future. He'll probably get in lots of trouble when he gets home with his constituents, with the people who definitely have a racist mood, and the government that even BBC, British Broadcasting Company, and Guyana Broadcasting Studios say U.S. government is moving sharply right. The Ethiopian army have retaken all the major cities that were taken over by the aggressive forces backed by U.S. imperialism. The Rhodesian attacks in Mozambique, according to the Radio Moscow, was much more extensive than I just gave you from BBC. French and U.S. bombers were supplied and were equipped with military hardware sent by USA to the Union of South Africa. They came in from South Africa. It is not only Rhodesia doing the attacks on the Mozambique Socialist Nation and villages, it is now the Union of South Africa. This is why I suppose Yugoslavia said World War III has already begun. Zimbabwean Patriotic Front denounces on Radio Moscow the bankruptcy of the Western plan for Rhodesian peace settlement. USA wants the Rhodesian cobalt, says Radio Moscow, and they will stay in this situation at all cost, even if it imperils world peace and brings about an atomic war. CIA and FBI, threats against those of differing political views are continuing. 2,370 operations have occurred since 1971 against political dissident leaders. That's a lot of operations. Criminal setups, press smears. Many of the U.S. press still are working closely with the secret police elements of U.S. society, says Radio Moscow. Again, Radio Moscow made much of Ms. Constanza's, the only Latino in the U.S. government's, resignation. She was allowed no public statement on any of the media, said Radio Moscow. She could not give her opinion at all through the regular news agencies or television networks. Arms shipment to Turkey. Carter has sent arms so he can strengthen the NATO southern flank that's right on the borders of the Soviet Union. USA would not tolerate this. It's amazing that they don't realize that finally a nation cannot stand the threat to its internal sovereignty. There are still many leftist uprisings in cities of Turkey, said Radio Moscow, but USA has sent arms to the police and the Turkish army, the fascist Turkish government, at a frightening rate to be sure that the people's will is not carried out. USA CIA operates two radio stations interfering with internal affairs of the socialist states. They identify these CIA radio stations in Europe. They also say that jamming is done by USA to stop Radio Habana from being heard. We can attest to that. And the voice of the Soviet Union, Radio Moscow. Public trial has begun in Baghdad. Sadat accused of violating Arab League. They're trying him in Baghdad, Iraq, in absentia. Well, that's probably why the whole hell's over Iraq. They're conducting an in absentia trial of Sadat as a sellout of the Arab League. And Radio Moscow says that the Iraqis are having an oil-rich nation, strong influence on the Arab League in moving them away from dependency upon USA military and oil refinement and causing them to move away from U.S. dependency on the dollar. Soviet college population increased by 1 million workers last year. 5 million are in specialized scientific and vocational training free in the Soviet Union. 100 nationalities in the Soviet Union, most from workers or farmers, have been, of this 5 million, have been brought from 100 different nationalities in the Soviet Union. I think we forget how many different races and nationalities there are in the Soviet Union. There has been an industrial growth in the Soviet Union of 5.2%, which is staggering compared to what's happening in the United States. As you know, no unemployment for 50 years, guaranteed employment. The state must guarantee you employment. Belarusia, a province of the Soviet Union, has an 8.7% industrial growth. Armed provocations of Rhodesian air raids. The Organization of African Unity will not agree to Western plan, said the Soviet Union. Rhodesian racists are provoking Mozambique to give NATO a cause or pretext to land troops in Rhodesia. This is the plan, says Radio Moscow. They are attempting to recolonize Africa. There is now a direct effort, says the Soviet Union, through Radio Moscow, to provoke Mozambique to take action against the bombing of its villages and cities from the Union of South Africa that is supported by $1 billion this year in tax aid, our tax dollars that crushes our conscience. And, says Radio Moscow, they have documented proof that they are trying to provoke the Mozambique socialist country to respond against the aggression against them and therefore justify USA sending in troops to its NATO puppet allies. and Soviet Union says this will mean the absolute recolonization of African nations and will not be tolerated. The Belgrade Conference of Non-Aligned Nations has condemned U.S. policy in Africa. Havana, Cuba, coordinating country of non-aligned countries for 1979 to 1982, where he will be the chief coordinator. This was much to the anger, met with much anger in USA, said William Moscow. Vietnam, Cambodia, that has been even condemned by the International Monetary Fund. Attempts against Vietnam. There's great concern over alliance of reactionary forces. Paramount importance now of unity, said Radio Moscow of the non-aligned world, to do something about these trouble spots because they're almost beyond control. Sounds much like what Yugoslavia said again, the beginning of World War III. Albania, letter to Communist Party of China, strongly indicting China for the suspension of aid to Albania. Albanian Communist Labor Party said China's reactionary act against Albania will be known for what it is against by the world. China's leadership.
What's the matter?
Am I on? China leadership considers itself, we're just about finished, an infallible genius. So China has done wonders in the world in terms of its economic aid and its own internal developments. But Albania states that now China's bringing the world close to nuclear disaster. The visit of Nixon, the rapprochement, the reestablishment of peace relations between USA and China during Vietnam was shameful in that USA destroyed Vietnam practically before it won its liberation. Albania condemns the doctrine of China's three worlds. Peking established a hegemony of its own, or is trying to establish rather its goal, which it has not succeeded, says Albania, is to establish a hegemony of its own over non-aligned nations. China opposes Marxist-Leninist internationalism, says Albania. Letter also contains an anti-Soviet statement for hegemony. Albania says that there is too late in the day for the non-aligned nations unless they have immediate unity, but Moscow even reported the anti-Soviet statements, said the hegemony of USA and USSR and the hegemony of China are on a collision course. The last point of news, Latvia and Estonia, Lithuania, 1941 were occupied by force by the Nazis that were backed all through the 30s by U.S. capitalism. 1944, the liberation came about and the people voted to become a part of the USSR. The industrial expansion, the national cultural rebirth, and the wonderful working conditions were idealized and praised by the Deputy Prime Minister of Finland over Radio Moscow. Thus ends the reading of news and commentary that all must listen to today, the commentary. The rest is bonus for special privileges, special rewards. But all should know this commentary. All in the community should know this commentary on the dreadful state of TV's racist view of our youth. Not only black and Indian and Asian, but even poor working class white youth. Thank you, and I love you very, very much.